Well, I indeed pray that all of us are free indeed in Christ Jesus this morning. That's a powerful text when you're talking about freedom. So my sermon title this morning is Living Our Lives in Freedom. And I want to talk about that. You know, this past week, and in fact this weekend, we've been celebrating the 243rd birthday as a nation. But not just as a nation, but an independent nation in celebration of a very precious gift. And it is precious. And that gift is freedom. We must remember, and I know you've heard this cliche before, but freedom is never free. There's always a price to be paid for the freedoms that we enjoy, because that precious gift is very expensive. It costs some people everything in order for us to have this freedom. And when I say everything, I mean there are those who laid down their lives for the freedom that we enjoy as a people in this country. Our founding fathers and mothers believed in the value of freedom, and if you read the historical record, they were willing to sacrifice everything, their families, their possessions, and many, as I've already said, their lives. And so this morning, we enjoy the freedom of worshiping in this sanctuary. Now, I know that doesn't sound much because we've grown up in this, where we were free to go and worship as we please. The freedom of religion and choice in this nation is guaranteed by our Constitution. But I want to tell you, there's nations and there are peoples in this world today in 2019 that don't have this wonderful freedom to worship, because there's a threat of bombings or being arrested, incarcerated, simply for worshiping. So they worship in secret places like basements and out in the woods, and hidden behind closed doors in fear of secret police or others arresting them or even taking their lives. And so we have a gift that we're even enjoying right now. The gift that we could leave those back doors open. We don't have to worry about the Suffolk County police kicking down the doors and taking us all away simply because we wanted to worship God. And so to me, that's a very important freedom. I went to school with individuals who lived behind the Iron Curtain before that curtain was stripped away, who were arrested as pastors simply because they led a congregation in secret. So blood has been spilled on our behalf. Sacrifices have been made so that we could come here this morning and worship freely. Well, let me turn this thing on. Sacrifices are there on the screen. Men and women who chose to serve, defend this nation, defend our freedoms. But I want to share with you that 2,000 years ago, another young man shed his blood so that we could experience a freedom as well. And I think you all know who that young man was and is. His name is Jesus. Jesus came into this world simply so that we might be free of our sin and everything else that held us captive in bondage, and so that we could be reconciled with God once again and be free to have that relationship between us and our Heavenly Father. And so this morning, as Ed read in our gospel reading for this morning, Jesus, these are the words of Jesus. Listen, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, Jesus said, you're free indeed. Now, the Pharisees that he was speaking to thought they were free simply by rituals, by following the letter of the law and making it more of a ritualistic experience. And everything Jesus ever wanted to do was to tell them that being a follower of God had more to do with a relationship than a religion or rituals. And so he's basically telling them, you're not free at all. And he tells them, for those the Son has set free are free indeed. So just as we celebrate our independence this weekend from the tyranny and the bondage of an oppressive government, and that government at the time was Great Britain, we celebrate it as a wonderful gift. But let me tell you, based on history, and I love history, there have been many kingdoms, there have been many nations that were great. Napoleonic France, the Roman Empire, and I could name dozens and dozens of other kingdoms and empires that no longer exist because they have fallen. And so we sing that hymn, kings and kingdoms shall all fade away. But there's something about that name being Jesus Christ. And so I do cherish my freedom in this country. I would like to believe I'd be willing to lay down my life for it. But I could tell you there's a far greater kingdom than the kingdoms that we have experienced in history and even today. And so as we gather this morning, we celebrate a far greater independence than an independence from tyranny and bondage from an oppressive government. We are experiencing and celebrating our freedom from guilt and sin and fear and even death. Because even death can't hold us. The Bible says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even death. A freedom not won 2 centuries ago or 243 years ago, but a freedom that was realized over 2 millenniums ago. It's sad, and I often think about this, and by the way, I love the parades that we have for the 4th of July. I wore an American flag shirt that day, and I love the festivities, and I'm not against that, and I think it's a wonderful thing that as a nation we celebrate this every year on the 4th of July. But it saddens me sometimes to see that Christ has been put on the back burner in this nation, and religious symbols like crosses and creches or even menorahs are challenged because there's this feeling, this growing feeling that there needs to be this separation, when in fact that's not what the early church fathers ever intended. And I say to myself, wouldn't it be great if we had a parade every year honoring the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ? Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if communities came out and celebrated the greatest gift that has ever been given to humankind? Freedom from sin, dead, guilt, and shame, and fear. And so we don't celebrate that. But let me tell you this, there are 3 things that we are set free from by the liberation that Jesus offers those who choose to follow him. And the first one is freedom from guilt. Now, I don't know if that is important to you or not, but I find it very important to me. To be free from guilt. What do I mean? It means that our past can no longer haunt us because of Christ. One of the sad things I've noticed over the years in my ministry, and I've been doing this for over 3 decades, is the enormous number of people that I encounter on a regular basis who are carrying their pasts around with them. A heavy burden of their past that weighs them down. People have done things in their past, behavior, acts, whatever it was, to others, themselves. There's this feeling that they have failed miserably in life. Some feel they have failed in their marriages. Some feel they have failed in their parenting. Some feel they have failed in their financial responsibilities. There's a plethora of reasons for guilt feelings by people that I have met on a regular basis. And there is this guilt of one's failures, of poor choices over their lives, and it drags them down like an anchor tied around their neck or a ball and chain around their ankles. This past is always pulling on them. It's always there in their heads. It weighs them down and it keeps them from soaring like eagles that Isaiah speaks about. There's this craving to be set free from this guilt that they feel, but they just can't shake it. They feel as if they're in prison and no one has a key to open the door. But I'm going to give you that key right now. The key to open that door is called forgiveness. That's what sets us free. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we don't have to carry this guilt around anymore because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Someone once said, I could believe God has forgiven me, and I could believe that the person I've offended has forgiven me, but the struggle I'm having with is I'm having a problem forgiving myself. That's where it rests. We just can't let it go. But the Apostle Paul says, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are free from our past and our guilt. We can release it and be set free, the Bible says, through Jesus Christ. It's so liberating to know that we don't have to drag this stuff around anymore that has haunted us years. I love this image. It's on your screen. I watched this YouTube video, and it was a whale that was completely entangled in commercial fishing ropes and lines. And its mouth was completely shut closed. It couldn't open its mouth to eat. It was inevitable that it was going to die. And this is what I love about nature. This big beast that could have destroyed this little fishing boat, it was a private boat, not commercial, pulls up alongside the fishing boat, basically asking for help. And one of these fishermen, a weekend fisherman, had this little tiny knife in his fishing box. He took it out and he started cutting the cord away, one by one, painstakingly. He'd rip this cord, and then he'd cut another one. And you could see the eye of the whale looking up at him. It's crazy. But they're God's creation too, amen? And he finally cuts that last strand, and that whale is set free. And this is the gospel truth. You could YouTube it. The whale goes off into a distance and starts jumping up and down in the water like that and doing flips. And I believe, if I could speak whale talk, and I don't, thank you for setting me free. Thank you for cutting those cords that held me in bondage, and I would eventually die. And then it swam off into the deep. What a beautiful image. Well, that's what it feels like when we are set free from our past. We should be jumping up and down and excited and thankful for the one who cut those cords. It wasn't a fisherman. Well, in a way it was. It was Jesus Christ who cut those cords that bound us and set us free. When we come to Jesus, the Son of God, and let him set us free, he says, you are free indeed. And I thank God for that. Free from guilt, that's number one. Number two, freedom from consequences. You see, Jesus died in our place. In other words, the Bible says he was our sin offering. Instead of bringing unblemished lambs and goats to the temple, Jesus took our place on Calvary's cross as an unblemished Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. We all know that when we break the law, there are consequences. Sometimes we escape legal consequences. Maybe some of you coming to church this morning went through a stop sign and you didn't get caught. You escaped. You got away with it. There's some people in this church that didn't get away with it. And they know what that feeling is like when that cop is standing alongside your driver's side writing you out a citation for a couple of $100s. We all know what it's like to suffer the consequences of breaking the law. Guilt is one consequence of sin. Yes, when we sin, there's this guilt, but there are others as well. There is one big consequence that is inevitable to those who continue to live apart from Jesus Christ. And let me tell you what that consequence is. It's plain and simple. Death. And I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. To be apart from Christ is to be apart from God. And so do we want to leave this life and be apart from God? Rather than coming through Jesus Christ to be with the Heavenly Father for eternity? And to get rid of that consequence of our sins, Matthew 12 tells us that we will all stand before God and give an account for what we've done in this life. We'll all stand before God. We'll have to give an account. Some of us will be standing there longer than others. I made an appointment for at least 3 days. But we will. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. He's telling us the wages of sin leads to death, spiritual death. But we're set free in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you something. Unlike the courts, you cannot bail yourself out from this by doing good works or paying so much money. It's not based on works. It's based on faith. We can't pay a fee or a price to reconcile that consequence, and we don't have to. Why? Because Jesus already paid the price. He paid the price on our behalf. He bailed us out. He went before the magistrate, God, and paid the price for us to be bailed out from our behavior. And I thank God for that. So when Jesus died on the cross, he paid our debt in full. And thus set us free from the ultimate consequence of our sin, which is separation from God and eternal death. Now let me say one thing here so I'm not misunderstood. There are still consequences for wrong or sinful behavior. I'm not giving you some magic wand or a silver bullet to say, oh, you could just do whatever you want. It's all under the blood of Jesus. I'm not saying that at all. If we choose to speed or go through a stop sign, there's a good chance we're going to get a ticket for that behavior. If we dishonor our marriage vows, even though we ask God for his forgiveness and he will forgive us, there is still a broken trust that needs to be redeveloped and rekindled with the person that we've hurt through our actions. If we dishonor the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is our bodies, and we don't take care of these bodies and eat properly and exercise and do that which is right, there are consequences that we will have to pay in not taking care of this temple. And so there are consequences. When we sin, there are going to be temporal consequences. That's just the nature of life. Once we put something in motion, there is a reaction to that motion. You know, do you remember the one who was hanging on a cross next to Jesus on Calvary's Hill? And Jesus said, this day you're forgiven. But he didn't come down off that cross, did he? He still died on that cross. There was a consequence for what he did. But he said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. You see, to me, eternal matters are much more important than the temporal matters of this life. But when Jesus sets us free, he sets us free from the ultimate consequence, freedom from guilt, so our past can no longer haunt us, and freedom from the ultimate consequence of sinful behavior, and that is eternal death, because he already paid our debt. So he sets us free from guilt. He sets us free from our consequences, and Jesus sets us free from accusation. What do I mean by that? Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, that we are made holy in Christ and we are set free from accusations. That's important to me. And it's important to understand that. Why? How nice it is not to have to run and hide like Adam did in the Garden of Eden. You remember when he sinned? Before he had sinned with Eve, he was walking around in the garden communicating with God. The minute he sinned, he had to hide from God. And God said, Adam, where are you? I think it's a wonderful thing that we don't have to hide anymore because of the things we've done in our past. How nice it is not to worry about if someone else finds out something that you did or I did in my past. How nice it would be to be free from accusations and the fear that your sins will be discovered one day by somebody who's quick to make accusations against us. What a liberating and freeing experience that is. The Bible says that when we come into a relationship through Christ with the Father and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that we are rendered blameless. That's the word used, blameless. And the word blameless means free from guilt. We're not subject to blame anymore. I don't care what people bring up from our past. The account has been laid to rest. And we could live without fear of a hidden past that's going to raise its ugly head because it's already been brought to light by Jesus and it's been dealt with and it's been forgiven and it's been covered. And we've been set free, he says. No one could walk up to us and say, oh, I remember. And that's happened to me many times. Many times. I bumped into a police officer in New York City during Ground Zero when I was working down there, had a collar on. He came up to me, he says, are you undercover? I said, no. He said, you cannot be a priest. I remember when. And I said, yeah, this is the real deal. I'm a minister now. He goes, holy moly. God no longer remembers. Regardless of all those people from our past who may remember, God does not remember. And that's far more important, my friends, than anybody else's long-term memories. You see, when we don't turn to Jesus and confess our sins and allow him to cleanse us, we are slaves to our past and guilt, and we are susceptible to accusation and, by the way, even further misbehavior. But once we come clean, once we go to Christ and say, I blew it, I admit it, I confess it, we're set free. You mean there's nothing else I got to do? Walk on a bed of nails? Walk through a fire? Serve 200 hours a week in the community? I did all that on the cross. You're set free. So when we come to Jesus, we are set free from guilt, from the consequences of our misbehavior, and from accusation. And folks, if that's not good news, I don't know what is. If that's not good news, I really don't know what is, because that is the good news. That is the core of the gospel. We could talk about the fishes and the loaves. We could talk about the wedding feast at Cana. We could do all that discussion if you want, but I'm going to tell you the core of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that through the shed blood of Jesus, we can be set free.
Hallelujah.
And we're free indeed. That's good news to me. I hope it's good news to you. Yes, this week we celebrate the freedom of our nation, and I truly thank God for that, and I know you do too. We celebrate the sacrifices that have been made on our behalf for the freedom that we so dearly love and cherish. But there's a far greater freedom than political freedom that we celebrate this morning. There is a freedom we can have in and through Jesus Christ if we would only place our trust in him. May we never forget, and I mean this, may we never forget those who bled and died and made the ultimate sacrifice for this country. Never. And may we never forget that Jesus bled and died also so that we might be forgiven and be given eternal freedom. Amen. And so remember this, friends. Don't let anybody ever bring up your past. Don't let anybody ever shake their finger at you. If you have surrendered your life to Christ, He gives you this guarantee for the Son who has set you free. You're free indeed. Amen?
Amen.
And so I want to just say a prayer, and I'm not going to call anybody down to the front. If you feel like saying this prayer with me and being set free this morning, maybe it's a reaffirmation. Maybe it's the first time you ever said it. But I want to tell you something. The Baptists and the Pentecostals did not come up with the term born again. Jesus Christ did. Okay? A lot of mainline churches are afraid to talk. I had a woman one day ask me, she said, "Are you born again?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "And you're a Methodist?" I said, "Yeah. I'm born again." You could be a born again Catholic, Protestant. You could be born again. It means that you've been born again in the Spirit. And so if you so wish to say this prayer with me, I'm going to reaffirm my faith this morning so that I could claim my freedom anew. You could repeat after me or you could remain silent. I'm not going to manipulate anybody in saying this prayer. It has to be a personal choice. And so I'm going to pray this prayer. You can repeat it after me if you wish. Dear Jesus, I confess that I have sinned in my life. I've hurt others. I've hurt you. And I have hurt myself in and through my actions. Lord God, I ask through Jesus Christ that you free me from guilt. That you'd free me from consequences. That you'd free me from accusations. And I surrender my life to you. And I ask Jesus that you cover me with your precious blood and forgive me. And with your help, from this day forward, I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.